What's going on, everybody? It is that time again. The Sooners Illustrated Podcast, episode 257 on this Monday, March 23rd, 2026. Josh Calloway, Tom Green here with you. We finally made it. Spring ball is this week. Practice starts on Wednesday for Oklahoma. We're going to talk to players. We're going to be allowed at practice this week. We'll set the table today. What all are we watching for? The storylines, the players to watch. We'll comb through it today on the show as we set the table for spring practice, March Madness, women's hoops on to the Sweet 16, men's hoops season not quite over. We'll talk about that as well. And, of course, recaps the weekends that were and still going for softball on the diamond as SEC play rolls on for both OU baseball and OU softball. It's a packed multi-sport show on a Monday. And a reminder before we get started, you can subscribe to Sooners Illustrated at oklahoma.247sports.com. Promo code SoonersPod60. That'll get you 60% off a VIP membership for a year to Sooners Illustrated and entire 24/7 Sports Network. You know, we're getting right into the start of spring ball here, so a great time to jump in and be with us every single day over at Sooners Illustrated. All right, let's get into it. Tom, we made it. Like I said right at the top, spring ball is here. It feels like the wait for spring ball has been really long this year. I don't know why that is. It's basically around the same time as usual. I mean, I guess it's maybe a smidge later than normal. Sometimes they start before spring break, but we finally made it. It's on Wednesday. The 25th is going to be their first practice. They also practice again on Thursday and then Saturday this week. Obviously, they tend to – I don't know the exact specifics of the practice, but they tend to sort of ease into this thing. They don't usually go, like, straight to pads or whatever, but full pads, I should say. But, you know, they're going to be out there this week. Winter workouts, obviously, in the rear view. We had the spring media day a couple weeks ago. And just feels good to have spring practice. I want to obviously get your thoughts on what you're going to be watching for on both sides of the ball here. But just in general, just nice to get to spring ball. I mean, it feels like the playoff game and the end of the season was a really long time ago. Really long.
Yeah. Like you said, it's felt like an extended off season.
Yeah.
I know, I think of it. It's just they've started spring, you know, a little bit later this year than they have in years past.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it'll be good to get back out there and get a first look at what this team is going to look like, what some of these new transfers look like, what some of these, you know, freshmen look like, and, you know, what some of these returning players that we think can maybe step into some bigger roles this season will look like coming up.
No doubt. Definitely look forward to being out there. And we will have an open viewing on Wednesday. They're going to restrict some of the video stuff. So, fortunately, no video from us. It sounds like, oh, you might provide some video if you know, depending on what that looks like, I'll try and share it potentially on the YouTube channel. But we will have interviews with the players Wednesday and Thursday this week in the evening. So keep an eye out, 6:30, 7, that range. Could hear from some of the players, presumably John Mateer, presumably a lot of the big-name returners right here at the start of spring. So keep an eye out for that as spring camp gets going. Bear with Tom, battling through illness. He's pushing through today. We're going to try and keep it a little shorter for him, but excited to get back out there, certainly, this week. Let's kind of just go each side of the ball as far as some of the things we're watching for. Just kind of set the table. We've been doing the spring primer series. If you missed any of those, they're all available both on the site, obviously, in the podcast feed, if you want to go back into the actual shows, YouTube channel. But let's kind of set the table as far as each side of the ball, just in overarching kind of themes as far as what we're watching. Let's start on offense. Obviously, Tom, as we do this, I mean, every position group has got players and storylines to watch. That's why we did the primer. So we're not going to hit just regurgitate every single position and player. But for you, a storyline, a player or two, just offensively, where do your eyes go? What are the headlines for you, you know, this next month that you're looking forward to learn or learn more about? Or, again, as individual player or two, just however you want to take it. What are you going to be watching for on offense over the next month?
Easily the biggest thing for me is, what does John Mateer look like after a few months off? You know, last season he got off to such a strong start. You know, we've talked about it. He was in the Heisman discussion that first month of the year, and then he had the thumb injury against Auburn. You know, cost him only one start, but he came back and he just was not the same player for much of the rest of the season. It looked like those final two games, the regular season finale against LSU and the playoff game against Alabama, like he turned a corner and looked a lot more like that player that he was the first month of the season. Now he's had some time off, not just to heal a little bit more, but to hone his game, you know, to work on his mechanics, you know, to work on his, you know, anticipation, get on the same page with some of these new receivers, with some offseason throwing sessions. And I just want to see what he looks like, because, you know, we got a little a sneak peek of it in a sense during Pro Day when he was out there throwing to Deion and Keontez and Jaden and Jaren. And, you know, look, I said it before, like, I'm not a QB expert by any means, but his throwing slot and his throwing motion looked a little bit altered. You know, we'll see what that looks like, and we'll see what he has to say about it, what kind of work he has put in. We'll, you know, hopefully we'll hear from Ben Arbuckle at some point this spring to see what, you know, what he has to say about it too. But, you know, Brent Venables, you know, spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, is that, you know, John has entered this offseason, you know, like a man on a mission. You know, they've seen how good he can be, but they need him to be great. So what does he need to do to take that step from good to great and really, you know, be the player that we all thought he might be coming in the last season? Because, you know, I think you'll agree with me here, but, you know, this offense is only going to be as good and go as far as John Mateer can take them.
No, that's a great call. I wasn't at a pro day, but you talked about on the show then afterward what you just were talking about, where his arm slot maybe looked a little different, moving good. The hand hopefully looks good. I mean, even at the back end of the season, it looked noticeably better. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm definitely excited to see him whenever we get those opportunities where they kind of simulate pressure, just how he's moving. Is his footwork look better? Is the arms look better? And certainly when we get into the spring game, potentially. And again, they're not going to be hitting John Mateer, so it's not totally the same as an actual game, but it's close. I mean, it's as good as we're going to get for now, at least. And so I'm with you. That's a major storyline for sure, and player to watch, kind of a twofer with just – how John Mateer looks kind of engineering this offense, you know, and if he just looks a little healthier and just kind of mechanically a little more sound, these are big things that are going to determine a lot in terms of what kind of season Oklahoma is going to have. You know, for me, you know, there's a ton of new players, and so you could pick any one of them or any group. Got to be the revamped tight end room, right? I mean, that you know, they've overhauled it completely. It's a new coach. It's a bunch of new players. Also, Jason Witten, it's his first college job. So just kind of seeing what kind of a coach he is going to be kind of interesting. And then just seeing these new guys. I mean, I think we all on paper are definitely very excited about what they did at tight end and that it's going to look a lot different and a lot better than what they've had. But I'd like to see it. You know, I'd like to see it. Certainly, you know, does Hayden Hansen look the part as that tight end one that we think he can be? Where does Rocky Beerson in? Can Jack Van Dorsler maybe be that high upside, like has a bigger role than maybe we'll give him credit for right now? The young guys, in particular, Tyler Rux. I know Ryder Mix is a little banged up for now, but Rux are one of the top athletes. And there's still those other tight ends that are kind of lingering around. Trenae Washington returns on him, or that he put on a ton of weight since the end of last year. What does he look like? Like, it's an interesting position that's been completely revamped, and fans are just dying for the room to be a lot better than it's been. And so, yeah, I think if you made me pick a position of the spring on offense, I think that's where my eyes would go, because there's just so much new, so much injury, coach, players, all of it, that it's going to be, you know, massively upgraded from last year. And so I'm very excited to watch these tight ends and just to get eyes on them. We got to meet them all at the media day, but now to see them in uni, in pads, out on the practice field on Wednesday and be like, oh, it's noticeably different than last year. And like I said, the guys who are back too, like Trenae Washington kind of goes a little overlooked. His leap, Kate McIntyre still around. Like, do these guys plan to be heard from, you know, where do they fit in? So it's an exciting group that I'm excited to get more eyes on here over the next, you know, several weeks. Anything to add on tight ends? Save your voice while you can. Yeah, I mean, those are a couple of the big ones. I mean, there's a million other ones, the new receivers, the new running backs, especially the running backs, you know, Xavier Robinson year three, Torrey Blount like year two. Does he look like he put on a little mass? Offensive line. I mean, there's a million, but some of the big ones certainly there. Anything else on offense you want to make sure you threw out there?
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, a lot of those new pieces at the skill positions just kind of play into what does John Mateer look like, because, you know, Jim Nagy spoke about it a couple weeks ago, too. It's like they needed to get better around John, and it seems like they did that certainly at tight end, you know, revamping the receiving room, you know, keeping Isaiah Satania, but bringing in guys like Parker Livingston and Trell Harris should help elevate that group and, you know, make life a little bit easier on John Mateer, to whereas, you know, he doesn't necessarily have as much on his shoulders as he did maybe a year ago.
I'd be curious too to hear from Ben Arbuckle and from John, certainly, and anybody who's back, whether it's a Satania or one of those offensive linemen or ex Robert Blaylock, just how much further they feel like the offense is along, you know, year two, with Ben Arbuckle, right? I mean, this time last year, it was like, okay, it's a new everything on offense. Basically, we're starting from scratch outside of the quarterback. Nobody knows this. So curious to hear from those guys who are back from last year, how they would compare, you know, to a year ago. That'll be something that I'm sure will come up on Wednesday and Thursday when we talk to guys later this week. What about the other side? What about defense? Obviously, it was a great defense last year. We talked about it throughout the primer series. It's, you know, replacing some big pieces. Still a lot of belief that it's going to be really good again. Certainly not as many question marks on this side as offense. Not as much change on this side, but some change. Some new faces in. Lamar Morgan in at cornerbacks coach. Also coming in for Jay Valai. Where do your eyes go defensively? What are you going to be trying to watch for between now and the end of camp here? You know, obviously in about a month from now.
The biggest thing for me, maybe the biggest question mark, is what does the depth across the defense look like? You know, they certainly feel a little bit better about it at some positions than others, but specifically like the defensive line depth and the linebacker depth.
Yeah.
Just because of what they've lost and what they've, you know, tried to replace it with. You know, linebacker bringing back essentially just Kip Lewis from last year's rotation, but bringing in Cole Sullivan, a guy they expect to start alongside him. But then you need some younger guys that don't really have much experience or production to kind of backfill that too deep. And the same goes for the defensive line. You lose R. Mason Thomas, you lose Marvin Jones Jr., you lose Dominic Williams and Grayson Halton. That's over like 1,600 combined snaps from last season's roster that you're replacing on the defensive line. And while you're bringing back, you know, Taylor Wine, you know, P.J. Adebowale, who, you know, Brent Venables said had offseason foot surgery, you know, David Stone, who we saw in a walking boot at Pro Day, Jaden Jackson's obviously back too. Like, you have a very good core there. Danny Okoye is another one, but, you know, whose roles are going to be defined? You know, I think we can count on Taylor Wine, David Stone, and Jaden Jackson to be starting, but who's going to be that other defensive end? And then what's the depth going to look like behind them? That's really just the most interesting thing to me, because, you know, we heard Brent Venables say, you know, last year the ones were here and the twos were here, and now there's a little bit bigger gap this season just because of what they lost. And they need to find a way to close that gap in the coming months.
Yeah, no, you read my mind totally, especially for me at linebacker, because it's just like, you know, and we can segue into some other news of the day here in a second. But, you know, we've talked about it. It's Kip Lewis, who's going to be awesome. And they bring in Cole Sullivan from Michigan, who definitely is one of my top players to watch here that I'm excited to see, you know, over the next few weeks and get eyes on, you know, on Wednesday when we get out there. But, you know, after that, Nesta, Heim, Marcus James, you know, even the freshman with Christian Moore or Bathurst or something, Jacob Curry, Jandro. Like, I'm just, you know, who's going to step up there? And there's a bunch of names, a bunch of young guys they're really excited about. But that kind of depth, I think, will definitely reveal itself more so over the next, you know, several weeks, and kind of what maybe a little bit of, give us a little bit of an idea of what the pecking order is. So we're not going to get like a depth chart. That's a long way from now in late August before the opener, but we'll get a better idea, I think, over the course of spring ball. And it will shape our conversations about this team throughout the summer, I think, certainly as well. Some of the players, you know, Kenny Ozawalu, just where he fits in, you know, that we talked about his versatility. Where is he working primarily? Is it truly an even split? How does he look? Does he look, you know, big enough to be a D tackle? Does he look athletic enough to be a defensive end? Like, his body type is so interesting. I'm very curious to see how he kind of just fits in. He's probably one of the top just intrigue for me in terms of individual players on this roster. And so, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of intrigue. I mean, it's not, again, like I said at the top, not as many question marks as there is on offense, where you feel like it's a lot of new and you're hoping to take a big step. You're not hoping for some huge step defensively. You're just kind of hoping to maintain what you did last year. And that's going to be tough because you're losing some huge guys like you outlined, but a lot coming back and a lot to be excited about that has been, you know, brought in as well. I just kind of teased it there. Yeah, I touched on it briefly with the linebacker. I want to make sure we bring up, well, you can bring up more defensive storylines if you want, but before I forget, Owen Heineke. So this is the story that won't die. It just keeps going. The Owen Heineke saga took another wrinkle today. Our friend George Stoy over Sooner Scoop, the first report that they are going to take legal action, Owen Heineke. Now, we talked about this back after the spring media day, because Jim Nagy brought up, I think that was Colin, I did that show right after, and we talked about this, that, you know, basically we thought it was over. We thought Owen was moving on. He talked at Pro Day. You talked about that on the show a couple weeks ago. We didn't really know where things were going. And now the indications are that he is going to take legal action. They're going to have an emergency hearing in April before the draft. It's before the end of spring ball too, barely. I don't know what to expect to come of this, truthfully. I mean, Trinidad Chambliss is doing the same thing at Ole Miss right now, and it's the same kind of deal where I don't think Ole Miss really knows like where things stand right now with him. But this story takes another turn, Tom, and we talked about this at length. Every time we kind of think it might be over, it takes a new life, like, oh, maybe he'll be back. So potentially gigantic news with Owen Heineke, and we'll have to continue to monitor it, but there's this thing isn't quite over yet. Owen Heineke may still be back on this team next year, and that'll be another storyline to watch throughout the spring, not necessarily on the field because I don't know if he's going to be practicing or not. Probably not, if I had to guess, but maybe. I don't know. But, you know, one way or another, there's still a chance that Owen Heineke's on this team in 2026, which is kind of insane.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect him out there this spring because I don't think he's enrolled in classes currently, but obviously he can, you know, re-enroll as a grad student in the summer, if he does get this injunction. But, you know, him and his team of lawyers, I think it's represented by five lawyers. One of them is Woody Glass, former Oklahoma football chief of staff, who, you know, stepped down from his role in this offseason. They filed a preliminary injunction in Cleveland County down in Norman this morning, and they were granted a emergency hearing on April 16th, I believe, that Thursday before the spring game. So that's 1 week before the NFL draft. And, you know, he's taking legal action against the NCAA to try to get that 6 year of eligibility. You know, he talked about it after pro day. It's like, you know, weighing the pros and cons because, you know, he didn't want this whole saga to really impact his draft stock. You know, teams viewed him as a guy that can come in and be a, you know, contributor on special teams and, you know, have a bit of a higher upside at linebacker just because he's still, you know, developing in a sense because he hasn't played a whole lot at linebacker in his career. So they think that there's, you know, some risk involved in taking him, but also some upside there. And for him, you know, it's, you know, is taking that risk of seeking an injunction worth maybe his draft stock taking a hit or scaring some teams off? And, you know, the way he viewed it was he can't afford to not be playing football somewhere this fall. Right. You know, whether that's at Oklahoma or whether it's somewhere in the NFL. And, you know, him and his, you know, representation and his family, you know, they decided to, you know, seek legal recourse, and we'll see what happens in the coming weeks. But I think one way or another, this should be resolved, you know, before the draft. You know, it could drag out if, you know, he gets the injunction and then the NCAA, you know, appeals it and it goes up like Trinidad Chambliss' case did, you know, all the way up to, you know, the state Supreme Court. But, you know, it is noteworthy that he's made the decision to, you know, take this next step. You know, there's been a judge assigned to the case, Thad Bachman, I believe his name is. And yeah. I believe he's an OU law grad. So we'll see what happens there. Yeah. But just another, you know, interesting thing. Like, certainly Oklahoma would love to have him back. That would answer a lot of questions at linebacker if you have a top three on your interior rotation of Kip Lewis, Owen Heineke, and Cole Sullivan. You'd feel really, really good about your linebacker rotation there. But we'll see what happens. I mean, this is something that, you know, even if he gets that injunction in 3 weeks, you know, this could drag out a while. So,
yeah. Another interesting turn. You know, because that's the thing that gets kind of almost lost in it sometimes is that, you know, it's significant for the team. I mean, it's not like he's like a throw-in and you're like, you know, kind of cool if he's around. Like and it is a position that we talked about at length is kind of thin. And so, at least on paper, right, a lot of unproven talent. So it'd be huge if he was around. I mean, like you said, you feel a lot better about that linebacker room if he's around. So it could be very interesting. The emergency hearing is set for April 16th, which is a week before the draft and 2 days before the spring game. I don't know. I'm not smart enough or going to pretend to know like the logistics and dynamics of like, does that mean like we will know for sure on the 16th? Like I don't know. You know what I mean? I really don't know how that all works. So it's a really interesting thing.
I imagine there will be a ruling at the end of that hearing. But I mean, who knows what'll happen, but
I mean, imagine like he's out on this he's in the spring game 2 days later.
I doubt that.
Get out there for a snap or two, just to say you did. It's a crazy thing. And Roger Denny, you know, obviously he thought director put out a statement saying, no, you're standing fully behind him. They're going to do whatever they can to help. It's a crazy saga that has just been every time we've thought it was over a couple times, then it kicks back up and it's like, oh, maybe not. And here we go again. So something else that we're going to be watching for certainly over the course of spring camp. Any last things defensively? I mean, again, it's not a lot of question marks really defensively. It's more just kind of excited to see the new guys and then what young faces emerge, really, over the next few weeks. There will be some. I mean, it's happened every year that these freshmen pop in and make an impact on defense. We saw last year Cortland Guillory. Like, it happens. So that's really kind of where the intrigue lies. Anything else for you defensively you wanted to hit?
Yeah, I mean, going back to especially along the defensive line, like, who some of those like newcomers or younger pieces that step up are going to be, you know, because we heard Brent Venables say that, you know, Trent Wilson and Nigel Smith had two of the best off seasons. Obviously, Kenny Azuwalu and Bishop Thomas coming in, providing some a little more experienced depth there. But with, like I mentioned, you know, PJ Adewale having foot surgery in the off season and David Stone in a walking boot, like, how limited are those guys? Because, you know, I imagine they'll be limited in some capacity, and hopefully we get some clarity on that soon. But, you know, having them limited means that other guys are going to have more opportunity to develop. And I think that'll really help them because, you know, even though you'd like to see more out of PJ Adebore, like, he's still coming off his best season so far at Oklahoma, but, like, you know what you have in David Stone. Like, you know, you have an All-American, you know, potential first or second round pick at defensive tackle there. So I think it's more important in the spring to kind of develop some of that depth behind guys like that and, you know, see what you can work with moving forward from there.
No doubt. It's going to be fun. I'm excited just to get going. Again, I said it off the top, it just feels like the wait has been really long this year for whatever reason. I don't know if it's the way the hoop season went for a while, and I'll see it finished strong, but or what it was. It's just kind of the fact they ended a little early because they ended pre-Christmas. We talked about that at the time. Like, this is weird to have the season over this early because the way the playoff is formatted. But for whatever reason, it's been a long time. And so we're very much looking forward to getting out there this week. And again, the schedule, we're going to have a practice viewing on Wednesday. Again, no video allowed, though. But we'll have, obviously, takeaways from it on the show and on the website, certainly immediately that night. And we're going to talk to players on Wednesday night and Thursday night. There is also another viewing on Saturday. Same deal, no video. But obviously, we'll let you know the highlights of both of them as best we can. And we'll discuss on the show throughout, obviously, the next several weeks here during spring camp and leading toward that spring game on April 18th. So look forward to getting out there on Wednesday.
And I will obviously have observations for VIP subscribers on the site after those practices. So stay tuned to those for everything that we can glean from what we see out there on the field.
Right. No doubt about it. So excited to get out there this week. That starts on Wednesday, and we'll get the ball rolling on spring ball. The Sooners Illustrated podcast will be back after this short break. All right, let's do some other sports before we get out of here. Let's start on the court, on the hard court. Obviously, as March Madness has come and went, at least the first weekend of it, I should say. Let's start with the women, and then we'll do a little men's basketball cleanup after last week. They're back in the Sweet 16. Congratulations to Jenny Bronchek and the Sooner women back in the Sweet 16 for a second straight year. They got it. I mean, they rolled over Idaho. That was expected. 30-point win on Friday night. They got all they wanted from Michigan State last night. That game was very close. They were actually down at the half, but second half they buckled down, looked like they had been in a lot of close games in the SEC this year. Like, they just felt like they didn't panic, frankly, down the stretch of a close game, season on the line. It looked like it was a great crowd and energy in the building there at Louisville Noble Center last night. Reagan Beers obviously was really good again, her final game at the LNC. They're back in the Sweet 16, Tom. Shouldn't be taken for granted. I say it all the time. People kind of, you know, the further we get away from it, the more you lose sight of it. The fact that the women's hoops program was in rough shape when Jenny Bronchek took over. They've won a tournament game all 5 years that she's been there, which is, that's a big accomplishment in and of itself. They're back in the Sweet 16 again for the second straight year, third time in total under Jenny. And we'll see what happens. They're probably going to play South Carolina, barring a stunner tonight. That game will be in Sacramento on Saturday, but, you know, here we go, right? I mean, they played pretty well at home. They got the job done again. They got pushed. Good to see them buckle down and play good down the stretch of a close tournament game. And now they move on to the Sweet 16. But as for this weekend, well done, handled their business, and we'll see where they go from here.
Yeah, I mean, first back-to-back Sweet 16 appearances since they had three straight from 2009 to 11 under Sherry Cole. is that, like you said, it's something that should not be taken for granted because it's not easy, especially in March. Anything can happen. But, you know, they handled their business at home. You know, they got, like you mentioned, big performance from Reagan Beers last night, 18 points, 14 rebounds. I think she had four steals as well and a couple of blocks, you know, just filling the stat sheet. Aaliyah Chavez delivered as well, 18 points, six assists, five rebounds. You know, they overcame a season high 23 turnovers in that game. And part of it is because, you know, they forced 22 turnovers from Michigan State and turned that into, I think, 21 points. Michigan State only got 15 points off the Oklahoma's 23 turnovers. And the other thing that really stood out to me is of their 28 baskets, they had 21 assists. Like, they were just really, you know, efficient, like distributing the ball. That's always a good sign. So to be able to kind of erase that 5-point deficit at halftime and really seize control kind of late in third quarter there, you know, just kind of what you expected them to do at home. And now, like you said, they set up what should be a big time matchup with South Carolina, assuming they can get past the other USC Monday night. And, you know, they got to have some confidence going to that one because South Carolina is a team that they beat. You know, back in late January at the LNC in overtime, they took control of that game in overtime. And look, they're different teams than they were 2 months ago, but it should be quite an intriguing matchup. And we'll see if, you know, Oklahoma can, you know, get to the Elite Eight for the first time since 2010, I believe, which was when they made back-to-back Final Four runs. So we'll see what they can do.
Yeah, look, I mean, we talked about whenever the brackets came out, like all four one seeds are obviously going to be really tough to get. And it's not like any of them are easy by any means. They're all juggernauts in their own right. The one you felt the most confidence in, most being relative, was probably South Carolina, just because you had beat them before. And, you know, the way that obviously the Texas game went the last time, and certainly the way UConn, UCLA are playing them, I mean, just complete behemoths. It was like probably your best bet would be South Carolina. That's who they got. And so we'll see, right? I mean, they beat them. I was at the game, you know, back in January. That was probably the signature win of the Jenny Baranchek era so far when they beat them in Norman. You know, at the very least, you can take some confidence in knowing, like, it is possible. And now, is it easy to go beat them a second time? Obviously not. They would be underdogs, assuming, again, barring something crazy tonight with South Carolina taking on USC. But I think you have to feel pretty good about, you know, at least the way you're playing right now, and go give it your best shot. And I thought, you know, Peyton Verhulst said it postgame. I thought it was very interesting and very honest that she said postgame that getting back to the Sweet 16 was viewed as the bare minimum. Well, you know, very kind of refreshing to hear say that. Like, that's where they were last year. You don't want to take a step backwards and kind of acknowledging, like, we knew we had to at least get back to the Sweet 16. And now it kind of feels like the whole season really has been building toward this. I mean, we've kind of, again, I'm talking about something in my mouth because I am taking it for granted a little bit, but there has been all season like a belief, like, they will get to the Sweet 16 again. Can they get past that next step? Can they go knock off a one or a two or however, whatever seed they end up getting, which is obviously a four, and get over that hurdle and get to the Elite Eight and be within a win of a Final Four? And here we go. We're going to find out. Obviously, on Saturday, that game, we don't have a tip time yet for that game, but it will be Saturday in Sacramento, which ironically they already went to, or coincidentally they already went to way back at the beginning of the year, back in early November, and they played UCLA. So it'll be interesting. I'm excited to see what they look like on Saturday. And the full press conferences throughout their tournament run are on the YouTube channel, postgame and pregame ones the day before will always be on the YouTube channel if you want to hear from Jenny and the team throughout this run. They're a fun team. We'll see what they do on Saturday. As far as the men, just kind of cleaning a little bit of housekeeping there, a little bit of cleanup from them. Obviously, Tom and I kind of put a bow on their season last week when they were the first team out again. They decided to retain Porter Moser. We talked about the fact they were not playing in the NIT and how it kind of surprised us a little. I mean, not like earth-shattering, but it was a little surprising because it just felt like it would kind of make sense to continue playing for some of these guys. Well, we found out shortly after we did that show that they are going to continue playing. They're going to play in the College Basketball Crown, which is out in Vegas. Starts next week. So we're still a week away from that. Starting April 1st is the day of the first game. They're going to play Colorado. It's an 8-team tournament out there in Vegas. It's only the second year of it. Truthfully, I didn't even know if SEC teams could play in it.
Right.
It's a box operation, so it's a lot of Big 12, Big 10, Big East. There was no SEC teams in it last year, but you made a very good point that there was only two teams that did make the tournament last year from the SEC. So it wasn't exactly a big, you know, pool of teams to pick from. But Oklahoma's in it. They're going to play in the crown. It's an NIL pool for the winner. Last year's winner, Nebraska. Obviously, it's having the best year they've ever had in the history of their program. They're still playing. They're going to the Sweet 16. Not saying that that's going to happen for OU, but it goes to show what winning something like this can do. It can kind of springboard you, theoretically. Tom, I like this. I don't really see any downsides to not doing this. It makes sense. Again, we talked about it last week, the NIT, when we were kind of a little surprised they weren't going to play in it. This makes more sense, the NIT, to me. And so I like this, and we'll see what they do next week. Maybe they go out there and win some games and take some positive vibes into the offseason. Obviously, they could use some and, you know, see if they can ride it a little bit into next year.
Yeah, I think I mentioned this to you when we were chatting before Selection Sunday, that if they missed out, that I thought this could be a possibility. Kind of like you, I wasn't sure like where the SEC stood with the crown, just because like you said, it's a Fox operation. Yeah. I know they prioritize, you know, Big 10, Big East, Big 12 teams, but my understanding was they left a couple at-large spots for teams from other leagues. And last year was a little different because it was a 16-team field, so they shrunk it down to 8 this year. So obviously fewer spots there, but Oklahoma is the first team out, certainly an appealing team for them to kind of entice into the field. And like you said, it's an NIL thing. I think if I remember correctly, you win the quarterfinals, you get 60,000 to distribute among the team. You win the semifinals, you get another 100,000. You win the championship, you get like 300,000 to distribute. So cool opportunity for the players, certainly, to pocket a little bit more money. And like you said, look, Nebraska won this last year and kind of, used it to launch into a very successful season. I think there still might be some Nebraska fans in the Bricktown Canal as we speak. Mm-hmm. I think it's a cool opportunity, especially, like we mentioned, if you're retaining Porter Moser and you want to kind of build off of the end of the season's momentum, even though it didn't end the way you wanted it to, getting guys like Xavier Brown and Darion Reed and Dayton Forsyth some more opportunities to work together and, kind of gel and build off what they did late in the season and, carry it into next year, I think is really cool. And, like we both talked about before, Nigel Pack having an opportunity to, maybe get a couple more games under his belt and see how much further he can climb up that career three-point list. I think it's certainly going to be fun to watch, at least.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm on board with it. And, we mentioned Nebraska won this thing last year. And again, they just had the best year they've had in the history of their program, literally. They never won a tournament game before. They're in the Sweet 16. They're still playing, chasing a national title. And Nebraska is kind of, it's not a perfect example, but a little bit of kind of the blueprint. Fred Hoiberg has been there. It's not like he just got there and started winning. This is his seventh year there. Like, it took time to build it up, and he was definitely on the hot seat, and there were definitely a contingent that thought maybe they should move on, do something else. They stuck with Hoiberg, and now it's paying off, right? And again, I'm not to say that Porter's going to do that at OU. I don't know. But if you're an OU fan who's hoping to sell yourself on Porter Moser's sixth year and everything, you're kind of trying to do what Nebraska's doing right now and see if you can't get come together a little later than you wanted to. But if it comes together, it comes together. So it's going to be interesting. They play Colorado in the first game. It's on Wednesday night next week, April 1st. And then the semis are on Saturday early in the day before the Final Four that Saturday, and the championship the next day on Sunday. So just a few games. It's not like some big, huge, massive thing. Like I said, it's an 18 tournament. A week out there in Vegas, I'm sure it's kind of a cool reward for the guys, just the way they finish the year. It's almost kind of like a bowl game, kind of a feel. And so we'll see if they can go win some games out there, and why not? I really don't see any downside at all. So why not? Why not do it? And, we'll see if they can win some games out there next week. And I think probably a good sign, too, when we talk about last week, talk about retaining players, probably a good sign that these guys are playing.
Yeah,
they want to, right? I mean, that's certainly a good sign. Doesn't hurt. So, I don't know. Good things for OU Hoops, and look forward to watching them out there next week in the crown. Before we go, how about some Diamond Sports on the way out? Start with baseball. Softball still in mid-series, but we'll get some quick thoughts on them as well. On the baseball side, great series win for Oklahoma out in Baton Rouge, taking 2 out of 3 from LSU. It was a kind of an ugly midweek game with Southeastern Louisiana. I don't know, midweeks or midweeks. I don't read too much into it. They go out to Baton Rouge, talk about it last week. LSU unranked, And so that can kind of, you know, warp your mind about them. Super talented, defending national champions. They were ranked highly. They've gotten off to a little bit of a slow start. Alex Box Stadium, one of the toughest places to play in the country. It was great weather out there in Baton Rouge. Looked like it was huge crowds. And they win got two. And look, I mean, the bullpen is where it's what's making the difference right now. The bullpen has been dynamite, A+. I can't immediately recall a Skip Johnson team that had a bullpen like this. Just the sheer volume of arms that can go out and pump 95 and get big outs. The bullpen, especially in the two wins, and really all three games, because Xander Mercurius was excellent on Thursday. Also, they were just behind already because of the bad start on Thursday night. But the bullpen throughout the weekend was absolutely phenomenal. LJ Mercurius on Friday was sensational in his start when they needed it. A little two-game skid, need a good start, he delivered. And then Sunday, Corey Rager certainly did his job as well. The bullpen, again, was tremendous all three games. And I thought offensively, like, it could have been a lot better. I mean, they left a lot of guys on base on Saturday. They were 0-for-8, I think, with runners in scoring position going into the eighth inning when they finally broke out and got some runs on the board and winning the game. So it's not even like they played out of their minds. Like, they can play a lot better than they did, and they still won two games out there. You got to get Cam Johnson right. You know, he had the walk bug bit him again. He just couldn't find the zone early on Thursday. Tough spot for him going back to LSU, obviously where he transferred in from. You know, he wanted to pitch well so badly. I'm sure that probably played a part in him pressing a little bit. But get him right. You feel great about where LJ Mercurius is right now. The bullpen's phenomenal. Offense is only going to get better. In good shape. I mean, they're tied for first in the SEC. It's really early, but they're tied for first right now. I mean, to go get to, I mean, road series wins are golden in the SEC. And you get any, that's a big deal. And so to go win at LSU, good stuff. I mean, it's legitimately encouraging, obviously, right now for them. And so we'll see what they do this week. They have no midweek games. They got a few days off to kind of reset. And then another brutal series. They go to Texas. Texas is number 2 in the D1 baseball top 25 right now. So it's a top 10 matchup down there in Austin. The win at taking two here has bought you some gravy in terms of, you definitely do not need to win two in Austin. If you do, that'd be amazing. It'd be great. You got to avoid a sweep. Can't be getting swept. But just, I would say, just make sure you get one down there and you can feel okay about it. Obviously, again, you win the series and you're feeling great. You're feeling amazing. But good stuff right now for OU baseball. And you know, you've covered the SEC for a long time. And to go get a series win on the road, period, is huge. Because that's really, when you go into it, you're really just looking for win our home series, don't get swept on the road. That's kind of what you're shooting for. And so win your first two series and you win one in Baton Rouge, really good start for Oklahoma. Long way to go, but a good start.
Yeah, winning at the box is not easy. Some of the best fans in the SEC and really in the country in baseball are at LSU. So to be able to go down there and take 2 of 3 at a place like that is really a good sign for this team.
No doubt. And I'm very interested to see how they handle going to Austin and how Cam Johnson bounces back. That's the one like thing that's kind of hanging over you, is like early in the year, he looks so good. And I still have not ever seen Cam get hit at OU. Okay. It's all about between the years, finding the zone. And he was so good about that. He wasn't walking guys at all. These last couple starts, it's gotten a little wobbly again on him. How does he respond in Austin? What's going to be another tough environment against another really good team? Texas just went and got 2 out of 3 at Auburn this week. That was a top 5 series. So Texas is really good. Big test, obviously. So I'm excited to watch those games this week down there in Austin. It should be a heavyweight fight of a series. And we'll obviously have the coverage over at Sooners Illustrated. On the softball side, Tom, they're actually still ongoing. The Saturday to Monday wraparound series are so weird. Still get used to them. Kind of an SEC thing to get some more national TV slots on SEC Network. But they already won the series. They have pounded Ole Miss last couple of days. They'll go for the sweep tonight. You know, they're rolling. They're rolling. They're hitting homers at an ungodly rate. They're playing really well, looking for another sweep. Not a lot to complain about right now for Patty Gasso and OU softball. They are feasting in the early part of their SEC schedule.
Yeah, they've already got more home runs before the end of March than they had all of last season.
Yeah.
They're at 126. They've set the SEC single season record for home runs already. Kendall Wells just keeps destroying baseball or softballs. you know, after Saturday's game, she was still leading the nation. I haven't checked like the updated numbers because UCLA's got a hitter that's like right there with her. Mm-hmm. But you know, the question was for this team was, you know, after non-conference play, would they be able to sustain that power against SEC pitching? And you know, we didn't see as many last week against Auburn, but you know, they came out and they've done it against Ole Miss. You know, they had five yesterday in another run rule win, including two from Kai Minor. So they're keeping that power going at the plate. And you know, one of the other things, I think the pitching's looked a little bit better too. You know, Audrey Lowry's still been really solid. You know, Alyssa Parker's kind of emerged as that number two reliable arm behind her. But I thought it was pretty promising in the Sunday game that, you know, you mentioned Cam Johnson going back to LSU for the first time.
Yeah.
Miley Guachena went back to Ole Miss for the first time, and she pitched four really, really solid innings, just gave up one run. It was a home run to lead off the second, but retired nine of the last 10 hitters she faced. And, you know, it really helps when you get the kind of run support that she got. You know, before she even stepped in the circle, she had a four-run cushion to work with. So that probably unburdened some of that pressure there for her. But I think if the pitching can continue to just improve, and look, I don't think they need to be world beaters in the circle. But as long as, you know, they get some solid pitching behind Lowry, this team has an opportunity to, you know, chase ring number nine.
For sure. I don't want to keep saying the same thing. Look forward to seeing them play high end competition again, which is coming. They have some big series obviously coming up before the end of the season, certainly in SEC play. They're kind of starting off a little on the light side, relatively speaking, but some tougher series are coming up. Obviously that Texas series looms in the early part of April. Got Arkansas is a big series, certainly. You got the Bedlam game. And even LSU this week is, you know, LSU's coming off. I was just looking. They won three of their last four. They just won a series with South Carolina. So, I'm looking forward to seeing them continue to navigate SEC play. They play tonight against Ole Miss one more time to go for the sweep out there in Oxford. The LSU series is Friday to Sunday, more the traditional regular schedule, if you will. And then they'll come back home the week after that. Yeah, a lot to feel good about on the diamond for both teams right now. It feels like we might be set up for a fun spring. I mean, it's been that way for a long time on the softball side, and certainly baseball's had some good years. But, the diamond sports are doing their thing right now. So a lot to be excited about, and we'll have the coverage, obviously, over on Sooners Illustrated throughout the season. And obviously, if you subscribe, you're with us. You can be in the game threads and hang out and watch the games with us and everyone else on the board each and every day throughout the next couple of months. I think that's it. We'll let Tom rest up. Power through. You did well. We'll be back, obviously, later this week with practice stuff, spring ball stuff. Colin and I will do the show probably Thursday, I'm guessing. I'll get with him, but we should be back on Thursday, catch up on some recruiting stuff, and we'll probably get into the early part of spring ball for him as well. He might be coming up to Norman to help us. I got to talk to him about that stuff, but we'll be back later this week. Excited to get spring ball started. Keep an eye out for coverage on Wednesday and Thursday evening on the YouTube channel. Of course, every single day over on the website, oklahoma.247sports.com. Tom, I'll see you on Wednesday. Rest up. Spring ball is here. Yep. Feel good about it. See you then. All right, that's it. For Tom Green, I'm Josh Callow. See you next time right back here, as always, on Sooners Illustrated.